Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SAF Holland SE Q3 2023 results call. Today, presenters are CEO Alexander Geis and CFO Frank Lorenz-Dietz. The presentation slides are available on the SAF Holland Investor Relations website. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Please note, this conference call will be recorded and published on the Investor Relations website of SAF Holland SE. Everything spoken through the unmuted microphone will be processed during the online meeting and published on the website of SAF Holland SE. If a past participant does not wish to be recorded, they should refrain from participating in the Q&A session and keep their microphone muted. The Q&A session is exclusively for institutional investors and analysts. All other participants of the conference call are kindly asked to contact the Investor Relations team directly if they have any questions. Mr. Geis, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alex Geis speaking, and welcome to our conference call on our Q3 and nine months 2023 results. Let me start with some key messages on page two, please. SAF Holland has performed strongly in Q3 as well in the first nine months of this year, despite a demand normalization in EMEA. The integration of Haldex is going very well. We are on track to deliver the targeted synergies as well as cross-selling targets for the year. Increased profitability linked with strict net working capital management led to an outstanding cash generation and leveraging close to our fiscal year 2024 target already in this September or by September 2023. We have seen another quarter with a strong ROCE in the double digits and clearly above WACC. Means we created further shareholder value in the past quarter, and I'm very happy to report that this is the best quarter we ever had in the company's history. Moving on to Q3 2023 highlights on page four, please. So we have seen a strong year-over-year sales increase of 37.4%, driven by Americas and APAC, so mainly by those two areas, a robust aftermarket, as well as the consolidation of Haldex. Our organic growth in the quarter was strong with 13.2%, so a good increase. By region, we have seen very strong high double-digit organic growth in APAC, double-digit organic growth in Americas, and a mild organic sales decrease in EMEA, basically on the same level, due to the demand normalizing, but we are still on a good level here in EMEA. Aftermarket performed strongly, growing by 68% and close to now 190 million euros in only the third quarter. This is, of course, also linked to Haldex, but also to prior strong OEM business growth, increasing the addressable aftermarket. As you know, we work on population OE, so we are able to sell in the aftermarket. Another highlight is certainly the adjusted EBIT margin we have achieved in Q3. 10.6% in a quarter is strong and based on improvements in Americas and APAC, while margins in EMEA increased slightly or were stable. The average LTM margin, so the average margin of the last four quarters, just for your interest, is at 9.3% and in line with our long-term target of 9%-9.5%. Frank will tell you more about the margin drivers, especially in Q3, a little bit later. I am also very pleased to report on SAF Holland having achieved strong cash generation with a free cash flow of 71 million euro, bringing leverage down to 2.1x per September. Last but certainly not least, we updated our fiscal 2023 outlook. As you know, now targeting sales of around 2.1 billion euro and adjusted EBIT margin of around 9.5%. So looking at Q3 2023 results in more detail, you can see on page five, starting on the upper left side, starting with EMEA. EMEA grew 15.2%, Americas slightly above 50%, and APAC very strongly with over 90% growth in Q3 2023. Later on, I will jump into different regions, as you know. In sum, we have seen sales slightly above 550 million euro, a strong adjusted EBIT margin of 10.6%, and an adjusted EPS of 0.78. Despite strong sales growth, net working capital ratio was further reduced to 14.5%. Good result. As a strict management is unchanged and also a top priority still in our company. Operating free cash flow, as said before, came in with 71 million euro and was good and very strong. In a nutshell, we have seen significant improvement on all metrics, and I have to say I'm very happy to be able to report this. Let me speak about group sales development on page six. We saw robust demand for customers for trailers and truck and the aftermarket. Both higher volumes and prior price increases supported sales growth. Our nine-month sales increased 35% to around 1.6 billion euros now. Organic growth was near 12%. Q3 2023 sales grew 37.4% and 13.2% organically. Haldex contributed 120.6 million euro to Q3 group sales. Also let me here just tell you one thing. As we continue with the integration and achieve further cross-selling, we already or partly invoice customers already via the SAF Holland channels and not Haldex entities in some cases. Therefore, the Haldex sales on a standalone basis shown here are appearing lower than they actually are. We shift a little bit the sales from the old Haldex ways to the SAF Holland channels. Moving on to the sales split by region and customer category on page seven. This is starting on the upper left side. This is a comparison between Q3 2022 and then Q3 2023. Due to the Haldex's strong position in Americas, they do about 50% of sales in the region. Paired with strong organic growth, Q3 2023 share of sales increased to now 44% for Americas. This is the first time that Americas is a little bit bigger in sales than EMEA, which is still, and you can see that, 42% of group sales. APAC having increased their share of group sales from 10% to now 14% is based on a strong organic growth in the region. I also will come to this later on. Basically, the perfect split for us in the future would be somewhere around 40/40/20, so we are coming close. Now, OEM sales of 365 million are mildly down 3.8% against prior quarter, but strongly up against prior year. Truck OE share, as you can see, is basically flat at 13%, while trailer OE business is 53%. With the Haldex consolidation and a robust aftermarket demand, you can see that the aftermarket share is now around 34% of group sales or 188 million, posting another increase of 6.5% against Q2 2023, and significantly up versus prior year when we saw aftermarket sales of around 100 million and 110 million per quarter. Please keep in mind, we added the Haldex. Haldex sales is 50% from the aftermarket, so this is basically a perfect share now for Q3. In the aggregated period Q1 to Q3 2023, so whole year 2023, year to date, aftermarket share is close to 31% and in line with our strategic target of 1/3 sales coming in from our resilient aftermarket business. Nominally, aftermarket sales are close to 409 million euro, so the first three quarters, and this is really good for our resilient earnings profile. I'm on page eight now, and you can see the overall adjusted EBIT. In the first nine months of 2023, adjusted EBIT improved by 65.6% to now 152.8 million, equal to significant margin improvement from 7.8% to now 9.6%. Q3 adjusted EBIT was 58.6 million, up by close to 60%, representing a very strong margin of 10.6%, as we learned before. The improvement in adjusted EBIT in the quarter resulted mainly from the OE volumes in Americas. higher volumes in APAC, as well as I said before, an increased aftermarket share. Process optimization, cost efficiencies, economies of scale, also in SG&A, were also supportive. Then speaking of the synergies from the Haldex acquisition, they were also beneficial to our adjusted EBIT increase. So the synergies came in quite good. A year-over-year FX tailwind had a positive impact on adjusted EBIT as well, but Frank will speak about that later in detail. And the average LTM margin of 9.3% is in line with our fiscal year 23 adjusted EBIT margin target of 9 to 9.5%. So coming now to the regions, starting with EMEA on page 9, please. While we have seen double-digit year-over-year increases, both in the first 9 months and Q3 23, due to the Haldex acquisition, organically our EMEA sales were slightly down by 0.7%. So we are seeing the expected normalization in trailer markets. We forecasted EMEA trailer markets to be slightly down since the start of the year. Therefore, our performance is a good achievement, as according to our own estimates, organic performance is above market development. Due to Haldex being consolidated and prior strong OEM business growth, the EMEA region recorded solid aftermarket sales growth also in Q3 23. Overall, 9 month sales were 711 million euro and 231 million euro per the last quarter of Q3. Coming to EMEA operating performance on page 10, and I can say we are on a good way to come back to normal levels. So we have seen double-digit increases in adjusted EBIT and margin expansion in the first 9 months to 7.8%, and a stable margin in Q3 of 8%. So this is going into the right direction. A higher aftermarket share, internal efficiency improvements, as well as I said before, the synergies from Haldex had a positive impact on our EBIT margins. Q3 23 versus Q2 23 adjusted EBIT also improved slightly due to an improvement in Haldex standalone profitability, and there are various measures underway to achieve further improvements in coming periods. So this is a good potential for us, since Haldex EMEA is very much dilutive to the overall EMEA profitability, but we are going step by step and have the first good achievements. Coming to Americas, which I'm very happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, because the overall demand for trailer and truck components remained robust in the region due to solid OEM backlogs. And due to our strong position, we also benefited from the trend towards disc brake axle systems, and we are now also ramping up our capacity for air disc brakes in our plant in Mexico to be ready for further growth. So in the first 9 months of this year, sales increased 54% to now 677 million euro, as Haldex generates approximately 50% of sales in the Americas region. So 50% of the Haldex sales is coming from Americas. Adjusted for FX and M&A effects, Americas grew a solid 15% in the first 9 months. And Q3 23 sales were up 51% to now 244 million euro. Adjusted for FX and M&A effects, we saw still a strong increase of 13.4%. And speaking of the operating performance of Americas on the next page, you can see that our Americas region saw a very strong double-digit adjusted EBIT improvement in both periods of around plus 80%, equal to adjusted EBIT margins of 10.9% per September 23, and even 12.3% per Q3 23. Strong increase in profitability was primarily the result of the operating leverage and, of course, the strong sales growth. We successfully implemented efficiency enhancements and savings in the overhead area, which are now showing the benefits. The increase in adjusted EBIT margin in Q3 23 to 12.3% was also supported by a reduction in aftermarket backlog. So we had huge orders in aftermarket. We couldn't deliver, but we got components, semiconductors in that case, and we were able to deliver a big chunk of that aftermarket backlog to our customers, which came in with a very healthy margin. The average LTM adjusted EBIT margin is 10.5%, and including Q3 23, the sixth consecutive quarter around the double-digit margin carry. Who thought that some 3-4 years ago, well, we really messed it up, but now we're in a good way. As I said, sixth consecutive quarter with around 10%. This is a great result of the team running the Americas. Now also coming to a region which we had big troubles the years before, APAC. On the next page, please, you can see that there was a substantial growth in the APAC region, and this was driven by the ongoing strong development in India. Due to government infrastructure measures, the expansion of its transport sector, and overall the increasing population and positive economic development, which were also supporting the transportation demand. Since we lead the trailer axle market in India with more than 55 to 60% market share, of course we are in front row and we are getting good orders in, and the orders keep coming in. Customer orders also remain solid in the specialty market of Southeast Asia. This is mainly mining, but also Australia. In sum, APAC sales grew around 78% until September 23 to now 200 million euro, and it even stronger with around 92% in Q3 alone, with close to 78 million euro. 9 months organic growth was around 70% and 83% in Q3. So very strong achievement overall. And speaking about a strong achievement, on the next page, when we come to the EBIT performance. So also here, overall, the economics of scale from the higher business volume in India and the favorable product mix in the rest of APAC were supportive in all quarters of 23. And I spoke about that before, the highly profitable business in the mining sector in Southeast Asia also helped to the adjusted EBIT increase. Further improvement in our subsidiary, in China helped a lot. So we are very close to break even there, helped to increase further our adjusted EBIT improvement. And of course, the target is that we from next year on also earn money in China, but we're in a good way. Adjusted EBIT more than doubled nominally in the first 9 months to 23.6 million euro, and we recorded 10.2 million euro adjusted EBIT in Q3 of this year, equal to a significantly improvement of margins of 11.8% in the first 9 months and 13.1% in Q3 23. In sum, Q3 2023 was the seventh consecutive quarter with an adjusted EBIT margin around a double-digit territory. So this was the region 2 or 3 years ago when we still were negative. So a good achievement. I think we did the right thing. All right, now Frank will tell you about the financials in more detail, and I'll come back later for the outlook.
Okay, thank you, Alex, and good evening to everybody from my side. Frank Lorenz Dietz speaking. I will call out some highlights on EBIT to adjusted EBIT reconciliation for the group on page 16. The delta between adjusted EBIT and EBIT in Q3 2023 is 6 million euro and therewith significantly smaller compared to prior periods due to lower expenses from restructuring and transaction costs, as the initial post-merger integration for Haldex has been mostly completed. Upcoming topics will be further steps in the legal entity consolidation, deeper IT integration, as well as supply chain improvement at Haldex. Kindly note, we would have seen around negative 1 million euro restructuring or transaction costs from PMI activities, but these were offset by a provision release linked to the cyber attack. PPA position of 5.9 million euro is slightly above the communicated 5 million euro run rate per quarter, as negative FX effects impacted PPA in the third quarter 2023. Overall, PPA contains effects from prior acquisitions as well as the Haldex-related PPA. PPA run rate going forward is expected unchanged to be around 5 million euro per quarter. significant lower one-off items as well as efficiency improvements compared to prior periods lead to a significantly improved reported EBIT of more than 15 million euro in Q3 2023. 9 months results with close to 125 million euro adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBIT slightly over 150 million euro are very solid achievements. As the Q3 adjusted EBIT margin is at a far higher level than previous quarters, I'd like to explain the quarter over quarter development in more detail on page 17. While sales of 552.9 million euro were basically unchanged quarter over quarter, adjusted EBIT margin increased substantially to 10.6%. We have seen three effects driving this. A positive mix effect in the low single-digit million euros due to aftermarket share having increased from 31.7% in the past quarter to 33.9% in Q3. We achieved Haldex synergies in Q3, which were expected to come in Q4. So we have been faster in implementing this, also impacting margin positively. Biggest impact on adjusted EBIT margin were positive quarter-over-quarter transactional FX effects in the mid-single-digit million euros. All regions recorded a positive swing in FX effects from Q2 to Q3, impacting adjusted EBIT positively. Main drivers were Hungarian forint, Turkish lira in EMEA, US dollar for the Americas region, and the Chinese renminbi for APEC. If you consider the third point being one-off, we still would have shown a margin of around 9.6% in Q3. In sum, the third quarter is really a good proof point of what we have been addressing at roadshows and conferences. Normalizing OEM demand is more than compensated by our resilient and very profitable aftermarket business. On page 18, you see the bridge from EBIT to basic earnings per share for the quarter. EBIT was 52.6 million euro in Q3, strongly up by 95.3% against prior year due to lower one-offs as well as strict cost control with cost of sales and SG&A growing slower than sales. Finance result was 10.7 million euro as it did not include a positive FX effect like in Q2. Run rate for finance expenses going forward is expected to be 9 million euro, while finance income can fluctuate a bit from quarter to quarter due to FX rate developments. Third quarter tax rate was close to 40% due to non-capitalized deferred tax assets on loss carry forwards and foreign tax rate differences at some subsidiaries. For the full year tax rate, we expect to end up around 35%, but it should normalize to around 30% going forward. Both basic earnings per share with 55 cents and adjusted earnings per share with 78 cents were significantly up against prior year. And only as an additional remark, in 9 months, 2023, we have already achieved 1.37 euro earnings per share, what is higher than 2022 full year earnings per share. Now I'm going to page 19, where you see the development of the equity ratio. Despite the dividend payment towards shareholders in the second quarter of 2023 and negative FX effects, equity is up 6.2% compared to 31st of December 2022. Balance sheet total is up 13.9%, mainly due to the consolidation of Haldex. In sum, September 2023 equity ratio is therefore slightly down at 27.5% versus 29.5% for December 2022, but improved against March and June levels. On page 20, I would like to speak about the net working capital development. Net working capital ratio of SAF Holland was 14.5% showing significant improvement against last quarter due to ongoing strict net working capital management. On a standalone basis, SAF Holland would have shown 12.9% net working capital ratio, which is an excellent achievement. Against December 2022, net working capital increased due to the consolidation of Haldex, which has a significantly higher net working capital ratio at around the 20% mark. Considering this impact, 14.5% for the combined group is a very strong achievement. The net working capital ratio still includes factoring at the same levels than previous quarters. Further expected net working capital improvements are planned to be used to reduce factoring and the related finance expenses. This means we should rather see stable levels of net working capital ratio going forward, at least for the moment, but improving finance expenses in the P&L. Overall, net working capital is and remains a top priority for me personally and for SAF Holland. Let me address the cash flow development on page 21. We have seen a very strong development of operating cash flow and operating free cash flow in the first 9 months, 2023. The strong increase in operating cash flow to 128 million euro per September and 84 million euro in Q3 was mainly due to higher earnings before taxes and strict net working capital management. Cash taxes were around 39 million euro in the first three quarters of 2023 or 19 million euro in Q3, up versus previous year due to increased earnings before taxes in prior periods. Payments for investments in property, plant and equipment and intangible assets were around 28 million euro until September, which means 1.7% of sales, or 13.8 million euro in Q3, what means 2.5% of group sales. Operating free cash flow was slightly above 100 million per September and 71.1 million euro in Q3 2023, significantly increased against prior year. We have recorded a strong adjusted EBITDA to operating free cash flow conversion of 52.2% in the first 9 months and even 97.1% in Q3 2023. As for Q4, we expect additional CapEx to flow through the cash flow statement. In sum, we stick to our target of the CapEx ratio being below 3% for the full year 2023. Still, we are confident to achieve a solid operating free cash flow amount in Q4 2023 as well. ROCE can be seen on page 22. Q3 ROCE was at a very strong 18.3%, another increase against prior quarter. The further increase of ROCE was due to the reduced capital employed, while EBIT last 12-month view further improved. During more than the past 10 quarters, ROCE has constantly been above WACC, meaning we are persistently created shareholder value. Moving on to leverage on page 23, including pro forma last 12-month EBITDA contribution of Haldex and related debt, our net debt EBITDA ratio amounted to 2.1 times, down from 31st of December 22 value of 2.6 times. The strong deleveraging achievement in Q3 was due to ongoing strict working capital management paired with a solid operating performance. Overall, due to strong cash generation, we decreased leverage already close to full year 2024 target, which is an excellent result overall. Having said this, back to you, Alex, for the market and outlook and closing demand.
All right, thank you, Frank. This is Alex Geis again. I'm on page 25, talking about the fiscal year 23 outlook for the trailer and truck markets. And I have to start with to say that due to the partially adverse economic environment and, of course, persistent uncertainties surrounding the Ukraine conflict, the European trailer market measured in terms of production in 23 is unchanged, expected to decline slightly this year. The truck market, however, based on the strong OEM order backlog and ongoing customer demand, is forecasted to grow by around 10% in EMEA in 23. In North America, both trailer with around 8% plus and truck markets with around plus 10% are expected higher than previous year. And as I said before, based on infrastructure investments, increasing population and a positive economic development, the Indian market for trailers is forecasted to keep the strong momentum from the first 9 months and grow in the high double digits. And our current estimate is a growth of around 70%. We think the truck market in India could grow by around 14%. In sum, we are expecting European trailer markets to normalize, while other important markets are set to keep on growing, especially North America for both trailer and trucks, as well as the Indian trailer market. In order to help to understand which regional markets drive our performance, we keep the two pie charts included. So the calculation is based on Q3 23 figures and including Haldex, and you can see that as a foreign trailer OEM business is geared towards EMEA, while North America is second of importance to us and India third in relevance. And as for our truck OEM business, it's more geared to North America, so number one market for us is North America, with clearly more than 60% of sales being generated there. EMEA is number two in importance and China number three. And now let me speak about our updated fiscal year 23 outlook for the group on the next page, please. Mid-October, we increased our fiscal year 23 outlook another time since the development was outstanding in September, October, and based on the strong performance in the financial year to date, the continued solid demand for trailer and truck components, especially in the APEC and Americas region, and a robust order backlog, group sales are now expected to reach around 2.1 billion euro, around 2.1 billion euro, assuming stable exchange rates and the sales contribution of Haldex as of February 21 of this year. We expect to reach an adjusted EBIT margin, including Haldex, of around 9.5%, based on ongoing strong market demand from higher margin regions, Americas and APEC, the greater share of aftermarket sales, and good progress in achieving targeted synergies from the Haldex acquisition. But we are on a good way, so we are confident to reach this. The outlook for CapEx ratio is unchanged at up to 3% and includes a focus on expanding production capacities in Mexico, India and Brazil, as well as the group-wide implementation of SAP S/4HANA. Ladies and gentlemen, while we will not give a guidance for the next year at this stage, but as fiscal year 24 is on investors' mind already, let me comment that we target to continuously show a stable margin performance supported by a resilient and profitable aftermarket business, operating on a full year basis continuously close to our fiscal year 23 margin target of 9 to 9.5%. And let me please conclude the presentation with some key takeaways on page 27. To summarize, DAF Holland has achieved a strong performance across all metrics in Q3 in the first 9 months of this year, despite OEM demand normalization in EMEA. An increased profitability combined with strict capital management led to strong operating free cash flow and a deleveraging of 2.1 times, also close to our fiscal year 2024 targets already. The double-digit ROCE has been considerably above WACC, and this, of course, creates shareholder value. And we are targeting an adjusted EBIT margin of around 9.5% in this year, significantly up from the 8% of last year. And ladies and gentlemen, this would conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for listening to us. And we now can start with your questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 followed by the star key on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your question, press 9 followed by the star key again. Please press 9 star now to state your question. The first question comes from Nikolai Kempf, Deutsche Bank.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Nikolai Kempf from Deutsche Bank. Thanks for taking my question. I have two and we'll take them one by one. My first will be on the truck market for next year. I know you're more geared to trailer, but you know, we always got some truck market indications for next year from some of the OEMs. Basically looking at volumes down -12% next year. Is it something you would see as reasonable or that you see kind of in your order take from OEMs currently?
Okay, Nikolai, this is Alex. You know that I travel a lot. I meet a lot of customers, both trailer and truck, but also, of course, aftermarket. We thought originally that the market in truck would go down slightly by up to 10% next year in our two main markets, which is Europe, but also in North America. At this point of time, we are fully booked until beginning of next year with the main components, which are fifth wheels, our hook systems, or the pintle hook systems, but also with truck suspensions. At the moment, we see stable order intake. We don't know what's going to happen in the second part of next year. But if I see what, for instance, Daimler came up with at the beginning of this week, they are quite bullish. And also we, from our side, we have another big potential. So fifth wheels and truck suspension is not the only thing we are going to sell in the future, but also specifically with the Haldex acquisition, there are other opportunities coming up with truck manufacturers, and we are exploring those.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And my second one would be on Asia. Well done, first of all. I mean, a couple of years ago, the segment was loss-making, so actually pretty good turnaround here. I'm just wondering, how dependent is that segment on volumes and volume growth? Because as I understand, you don't have so much aftermarket business, and if volumes come down, there's probably a risk that, you know, earnings are also coming down pretty quickly.
No, I don't see this. So you are totally right that the aftermarket share in Asia is a little bit, or it's lower than the share of aftermarket the rest of the world. So roughly 15% of total sales is coming from the aftermarket. But the good thing is that the margins, so we are not dependent on the aftermarket margins because OE comes with the same margin than the aftermarket. It's totally different beast like in North America or in EMEA. And we have shown also last year we can increase dramatically. For instance, in India, we have a new production facility. We moved in. I was there 3 weeks ago. We installed another robot for a third welding line. And even if we go up or down by 20-30%, which I don't see for next year in India, by the way, it's going one direction, that's going up. We can keep with that. We are very lean in India, so SG&A of white collar it's very, very stable, and we can also adjust because we have a very flexible workforce in India. So this is not of a big concern. We did a good work in Australia with diversifying our customer base, the truck business, trailer business, aftermarket, but also in Southeast Asia, which we operate from Singapore, and with the combination of Haldex and SAF, we have now more cross-selling opportunities. So we have subsidiary in South Korea. They're now in constant dialogue with Singapore. They have the first achievements in Indonesia in the mining sector. So I'm happy. And another big opportunity, which I mentioned before, our subsidiary in China. We have the Haldex subsidiary, Checkmark, they earn money. The SAF Holland, which you know that we burned heavily in the past. We are now break even. We have a good plan. Orders are coming in for 2024. So we are confident that we can turn the whole ship here. And if those margins are also coming, then this will lift the profitability in next year. So with Asia, I have to say, 7 quarters with double digit, we will do that. We will achieve that. We have more orders coming in. Asia really jackpot. I'm happy about this development. We have a good team.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Holger Schmidt, DZ Bank.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is on the OE business. Assuming a stronger decline in demand for the OE business in 2024, would you still expect your OE business to stay profitable? And what level of flexibility do you have with regard to your costs? And the second question is with regard to the aftermarket business. It has developed very well so far. And what level of growth do you see for the aftermarket business in 2024 and over the midterm?
Okay, I also would take the question. The first one was if the OE business is declining next year, so in trailer or in truck, well, if the markets are declining, I see that in a most high single-digit number. We can just swallow that away. We have flexible workforce, so blue collar, white collar. We have strict management of costs. Even if an increasing sales number is coming in, we didn't took too many people on board because we know what's going to happen if the markets are dropping. Okay, but as I said before, we have a couple of different product lines in the pipeline, both trailer and truck. We don't see a big risk that if the sales is declining by, let's assume, by 10%, that we will have a big issue keeping our margins, or the margins will not drop. That's the first thing. And second thing is, this is why I'm always pushing, and some of you guys know my background is in aftermarket, so I was taking care 20 years of the aftermarket. I'm a firm believer of population. We created a huge population when we talk, for instance, EMEA in the last 3 years. Booming markets, we gained market share in axles, suspensions. This population is now coming into the workshops. So this makes me very confident with 1/3 of aftermarket now. And we are talking more than 600 million now aftermarket sales. This is a huge number. With steady profitable margins, we do a good job not only in the first brand, but also the second brand. So for the older vehicles, we're increasing sales. I'm very confident that we can keep up our aftermarket share, sales, but also the profitability.
Yeah, thank you. But what kind of growth rate can we assume here?
In the aftermarket?
Yes.
Do not report on single aftermarket growth rates. We report in regions, which is OE and aftermarket. So please, we don't report on single aftermarket growth rates.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please press 9, followed by the star key on the telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. Next question come from Roland Kernan, Value Holdings.
Yes, good afternoon from my side. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, congrats to the very strong figures. My question, and thanks for a first indication of your margins in 2024 and where this come from, coming from the aftermarket business. My question would be, do you see in the aftermarket any kind of overstocking in the dealer network? So is there any risk of destocking of dealers going into the next year, or is this just short-time business that there is no risk of overstocking there? Thanks a lot.
Well, basically, we speak with a lot of big and medium aftermarket dealers, both OES and independent aftermarket, both sides of our biggest markets, EMEA and Americas. There never has been an overstocking. There was maybe 1 quarter last year when the supply chains were really under pressure, that the aftermarket guys tried to get as much material as possible. But as I said, that was somewhere around mid of 2022. We check the stock levels, so we are connected with most of our customers by EDI. We can see the stock levels because there is sometimes an automatic restocking from our side with some customers. They are on a normal level, so it's not down, it's not up. I would just say top 20 customers after, but have just a normal aftermarket level.
Perfect. Then an add-on question on the topic of your when you're speaking to your customers, when you're speaking to your trailer customers, what is the picture there for next year?
It's a mixed picture. I was a little bit cautious during the August time, I have to say, because the order intake and the biggest market is EMEA, so I speak about EMEA, okay? I was a little bit cautious because the order intake, which is typically in August, not at a very high level because of the breakdowns, the summer breaks, was not high. In September, it was, I would say, weak. So we thought, what's coming? But in October, all of a sudden, but also in November now, order intake is coming in much better on a much higher level, which was kind of surprising. So there is a different segments. The curtain signer at the moment, for instance, for a company called Schmitz or Krone, it's not as good as used to be the first half of 23, but all other segments, especially markets, tippers, flatbeds, are quite strong. I can tell you that we are here in the German plants are fully booked until January, and our Turkish plant is already overbooked until the end of the first quarter. So it's pretty good. The overall assumption of all trailer manufacturers next year, there will be a slight decline in Europe. On the other side of the ocean in North America, we are also fully booked until beginning of next year. The container chassis market is weak at the moment, but all other trailers, the order books are full. We get orders, and to give you a magnitude, the container chassis business is about 15% of the overall trailer market in North America. We stay cautious. We watch the order intake. But so far, knock on wood, we are happy and we have visibility already until the end of the first quarter of next year.
Perfect. Many thanks for this picture and all the best for the rest of the year. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Jorge González Dadormir, Hauck Aufhäuser Investment Banking.
Hello, good afternoon, Frank and Alex. Thank you for taking my questions and also congratulations on the results. Sorry for asking this again. I had some issues with the telephone. So I listened to you and I heard that you are still expecting stable margins for next year solid aftermarket contribution. I don't know if I have missed any figure, or it was just his comment, just following the question of my colleague before. That would be my first one, please.
Well, I said that everybody is speaking already about 2024, very close. Of course, we are not giving any guidance in sales and margins for next year already now, but what we can see, we have a lot of new products coming in, pipelines, we have some cost savings measures in place, and we will have a full year Haldex synergy coming next year. Okay, as you know, as a reminder, we only consolidated Haldex from end of February of this year, so we will have a full run rate of our savings we already did this year, but full rate next year. And I said that we trust ourselves that we will come in with a margin in the ballpark of our 2027 target, which we announced, which will be around 9 to 9.5% adjusted EBIT margin.
Amazing, Alex. Thank you for the wrap up. So my question will be around the different, factors that you think are key for next year. What we should take into account in terms of pricing, in terms of inflation, cost material inflation, salaries. What can you tell us about this for next year?
Well, it goes up and down.
Exactly.
You know, scrap steel went down in summer, September. Now it's going a little bit up. Okay, again, so August from September, it's now 5% up. We are working constantly with our suppliers, offer them good deals. We typically have a dual supplier strategy, best price wins for the same quality. We are attractive for our suppliers because most of the time we are one of the big customers. They want to make sure that we also in 2024 buy from these guys. I also did a lot of times the purchasing for the group. We, as I said, speak with our suppliers. Some materials are going up, some materials are going down. If you would ask me for an estimate of price level, I think it remains same 24 over 23. If nothing crazy is going to happen.
Yeah. And Jorge, if we talk about personal costs, we always have to work on productivity. As every year we have increasing salaries, we have to work on productivity activities. We grow a lot in countries with lower salary levels. So overall, it's the same year over year topic we have to balance every year. So we will not give any guidance for next year, but I think it's nothing that is new or totally different than it has been in the past.
To give a little bit more meat on the bone, speaking for North America, you know that, and we announced that a couple of times, that we are moving some of our production facilities or capabilities from the U.S., which is high salary territory, to Mexico. So reported that beginning of last year, we upgraded our warehouse in Querétaro, which is close to Mexico, 2 hours away. We have a dedicated aftermarket assembly line. This is fully operational. Very happy about this, so we can sell everything to the aftermarket. But also, we have just moved in last month in our first warehouse and production facilities in Piedras Negras. That's the north of Mexico, Texan border. We moved in. First stage is to do fifth wheel, so a fully blown fifth wheel production place for both OE and aftermarket, mainly for our Mexican truck production sites. So North American, everybody has production sites in Mexico. So we would like to fulfill the demands and the orders we are getting. Second stage is then also to consolidate more when it comes to axles, landing legs, and sliding systems, where we are market leader with 70%. And by doing that, of course, then we can participate on the lower wages and lower costs. And this is also what we are working on. And this is in the pipeline. As I said, we moved in October. So this is fully operational then starting from 2024. And next stages are coming mid of next year. So from this perspective, I think we will overcome our cost challenges by next year.
Oh, thank you. Very, very useful. And maybe a last one. Regarding the market in North America, the freight volumes this year have not been excellent. Despite the demand was strong, the freight volumes were not really strong. So I am wondering if the economy starts to pick up next year, this can translate maybe in a strong growth for the aftermarket, or you don't foresee much different, even if the freight volumes recover through the year next year?
Well, I have to say, if the markets would be as bullish, if the markets in 24 would be as bullish as the market in 23, I would be very happy, because we are outgrowing the market in truck business, in the trailer business. We got a lot of market share this year, and we are also growing the aftermarket. You guys know we have a dedicated aftermarket. So basically we have two companies within the company, One is really taking care of the aftermarket, dedicated people, specialists. We will be growing the aftermarket also next year because of the population we did, not only in North America, but also on the EMEA side. To what extent, I will not display because we don't report in aftermarket. But this is the target, of course. We have a dedicated aftermarket company within the company. The plan is clearly to also grow the aftermarket, but we also would like to grow OE, since we have some new products, new capabilities, capacity also. So, yeah. And there is internally, there is a race to a billion between the two regions. I always make a joke that the president who got first the billion will win the candlelight dinner with me. Okay, that's the internal joke. But we will come there. If we will come there next year or the year after, but I'm pretty sure that the two big regions, EMEA and Americas, will sooner or later reach the first 1 billion in their territory.
Thank you very much for the color, Frank and Alice. I go back to the line.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have no further questions.
No further questions? Any more questions? Okay, then everybody, thank you very much for listening to us and for your trust in the company as shareholders, investors, but also analysts. More to come, and hopefully you can see us and hear us in 3 months from now and report on a beautiful Q4 also. Thank you.
Thank you.